grace that love to know. Spirit breathing from above, thou hast taught me it is so.
Amen. Thank you, Miss Candace. What a great song. I am His and He is mine. What a blessing. Let's take the Word of God. We will go to the book of Galatians chapter number 5 tonight. Galatians chapter 5. And this morning I preached on going forward by faith in holiness. But tonight I would like to speak to you on this subject, the Holy Spirit and the believer. I think I want to finish the message from this morning, really, in the sense that we must know the Holy Spirit in order to live a holy life. In fact, it is impossible for the child of God to live a life of holiness without being filled with the Holy Spirit. In fact, aren't you thankful that God gives us the Holy Spirit to enable us to live a holy life? In fact, we know that the Bible says that God has commanded us to be ye holy, for I, the Lord thy God, am holy. And the Lord would never command us to do something without giving us the divine enablement to do it. So as we have the Holy Spirit, and every child of God has been entrusted with this gift. It is the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now tonight, let's understand some things about the Holy Spirit and how we are to live a Spirit-filled life. By the way, living a Spirit-filled life is the open secret for the child of God. It is how you can know the Lord, walk with the Lord, and have the joy of the Lord, the Spirit of God feeling the believer. So we go to Galatians chapter number 5, and let us begin, if you would please, in verse number 1. The Bible says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Now I'm going to pick back up But I want you to understand, Paul is speaking to the church at Galatia here. And Paul is saying, don't go back to the works of the law, because now you have been saved by grace. And Paul is saying, stand fast. Don't be moved. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Now, we know that we are saved by grace through faith. It is not of works, lest any man should boast. But often the child of God is saved by faith, and then he tries to live by works. And let me tell you something. We cannot be saved by works, and you cannot live the Christian life in your own strength. We must live in total dependence upon the Spirit of God, enabling us to live the victorious Christian life. And here's what's amazing and wonderful. God has planned for you to live a victorious Christian life, and He's made a way for you to have victory. Now, I'm not talking about sinlessness, but I'm talking about victory, daily victory in Christ. So Paul picks up in verse number 2 and says, behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Now let me explain. We understand these new Christians in the church of Galatia, they have come to know the Lord. But now many of the Jews are saying, you still need to be circumcised, which was a doing of the law. And Paul is saying, if you think you have to obey one part of the law, then you're a debtor to do the entire law. You know, sometimes people want to continue in some of what their works. And obviously, if we are a child of God, there should be works. In fact, you know, faith without works is dead. There are things that we should be doing. I mean, all of us should be reading and studying the Bible. We should be spending time in prayer. We should be faithful to the house of God. But we are not doing that to find acceptance in Jesus Christ. He's saying, don't go back to the works of the law. You have your freedom. You have your liberty in Jesus Christ. We read on here. He says in verse 4, Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. Now, he did not say they have lost their salvation, but you have forgotten that you've been saved by grace. We read on verse 5, for we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord that you will be none otherwise minded. But he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. I would they were even cut off which trouble you. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Tonight, the Holy Spirit and the believer. I want to give you first tonight the warning for the believer. Now, Paul gives us a warning here. Paul is saying, do not go back to the works of the law. Now, once again, we should be living out our Christian life. In fact, the Bible says that if we are in Christ, we should be living that out. And God's Word uses the terminology, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That's not that we're working to be saved, but we're working out what God has worked in. And so there are things that accompany the Christian life, but there's a warning here. The warning, as believers, we stand in liberty. The liberty of Jesus Christ. We are to be motivated by God's grace as we use our liberty as God intends. Now, I want to put it very clear. Brethren, we do not have liberty to do anything we want to do in the flesh. We have liberty to do anything that pleases Jesus Christ. Amen. That's our liberty. Sometimes Christians want to use their liberty, per se, to live a life that is dishonoring and displeasing to Jesus Christ. Yes, you have liberty, but it's not to live according to the flesh. It is not to sin of your own lustful desire. It is liberty. We have our freedom in Jesus Christ. We have liberty to follow Jesus Christ. We are not under the law. We have freedom to follow the Lord. But liberty is not for selfish pleasure. In fact, our Heavenly Father gives us freedom, really, to live for Him and to serve one another. Look back in verse number 13. Look what it says in Galatians 5. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. So we have liberty to serve one another. Freedom. We are not serving to find acceptance or approval, but we have liberty to love and to serve one another. In fact, our Heavenly Father has given us this freedom. Aren't you thankful for the freedom that you have in Jesus Christ? Amen. You know, I just came from India, and it's sad to watch people that are in bondage trying to gain entrance into heaven by worshiping all kinds of gods and idols. We would go into places where you could buy your own God. Is that not interesting? And stores that were filled with multiple gods and multiple idols. You could buy them. You can put them in your car. In fact, all the taxi drivers had a little god on the shelf, on the dashboard, when they would pick us up. We needed more than that little idol to protect us, let me tell you, all right? And it was not that idol keeping us safe. It was the grace of God, I can tell you that. But it's just they are in bondage. They've got to do something. They've got to earn their way to heaven. And there seems to be something in the heart of man that wants to earn his own salvation. And do you know that you go to all kinds of parts of our world and everybody believes in something? They are worshiping something. They believe in their own religion, even if it's their own man-made religion. And there is something within the heart of man that he wants to earn. He wants to work his way to heaven. But brethren, it is not by works. It is simply by faith in Jesus Christ. And Paul is giving a warning to these people. You have lived under the law. You have lived in bondage, thinking you have to do this and that. And by the way, if you study the Jews, they had all kinds of laws and they had all kinds of regulations. And guess what? Over the years, it began to grow and began to grow. And there was more. Now you need to do this. And now you need to do this. And you must not eat with unwashing hands. And you must do this. And you must do this. And listen, Jesus Christ came preaching liberty and given freedom. But if we are not careful, we can be saved by faith and then try to live our Christian life by duty and simply by trying to earn simple acceptance to the Lord. Brethren, you are accepted right now in the Beloved. Amen. I'm not going to church to be accepted by God. I'm not reading the Bible to be accepted by the Lord. But now I am doing it with liberty. Liberty out of love for our Savior. So we find the warning of the believer. But number two, we find the walk of the Christian. Now, the word walk here, verse number 16 says, "This I say then." Here is the key. Here is the very simple God's ideal on how we can be victorious. And by the way, in the verses 1 through all the way through verse 15, he is talking about how, look in verse 15, "But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another." And all that is happening. And then Paul says, "This I say then." Let me sum it up. Let me give you the conclusion. Let me give you the very secret, the open secret. He says, "Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Now the word "walk" here is in the present tense in our Greek language. You know, the New Testament was written in Greek and the Old Testament in Hebrew. And obviously, as we study this word "walk," it's written in the present tense. Now that's important because it means it's not something that happened in the past or only has just one occurrence. Now when you get saved, that is something that's once and forever settled. But walking in the Spirit is something that has to continue. That's right. That means this. Brethren, you can walk one day in the flesh, and it seems like you can walk the next minute in the Spirit. But also, you can be walking in the Spirit, and it seems like we can easily walk in the flesh. God has designed us to live holy lives, and we cannot live holy lives unless we are walking in the Holy Spirit. It's very important. Now, this word implies a continual walking. And by the way, how many has ever had someone ask you before, "How is your walk with God?" Would you lift your hand and hold it up high? All right? Maybe I've even said that from the pulpit. And I want to ask you tonight, how is your walk with God? Well, you know, let's think of the very term walking. If I'm walking with someone and we just, I feel like we walked miles and miles in airports, you know, getting to our gate and terminal. And of course, flying into JFK, that is a big airport. And in fact, we walked and then took a tram and walked some more and walked some more. And we went to Mumbai. That was a big airport. Paris was a big airport. And we had to walk. But you know what? We stayed together. It was me and my son. And then there was three other men that were together. And we walked together. But while we were walking together, we were talking together. We were fellowshipping together. And if you're going to walk with God, you have to agree with God that you're going in the same direction. In fact, the Bible says, "How can two walk together except they be agreed?" If my wife and I want to take a walk and my wife says, "I want to go this way," and I say, "I want to go that way," guess what? We can't walk together. We have to agree that we're going to walk together. And as we're walking together, it suggests communion. It suggests fellowship and intimacy. And if we are going to walk in the Spirit, it means that we have to fellowship with the Holy Spirit, yielding to the Holy Spirit, surrendering to the Holy Spirit. And the problem is, often we don't want to surrender to the Holy Spirit. We war in our heart and we battle. Why do Christians often not walk in the Holy Spirit? Because they don't want to agree with the Holy Spirit. We want our own way often. We fight against God's way, and therefore we are not walking in the Spirit. Now, let the Spirit of God work in your life. And if you allow the Spirit of God to work in your life, the Spirit of God will bear the fruit. Did you know that you and I cannot produce fruit? We cannot produce fruit. What fruit? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. We cannot produce fruit. When I was in India, someone asked me, what did you eat? Well, let me tell you something about Indian food. I don't know if you like Indian food. Does anybody here like Indian food? Would you raise your hand? Well, Lord bless you, all right? Because I don't think it's going to be in heaven, all right? Because I'm telling you, it is unbelievable, you know? And I did try some of it, and immediately the Spirit of God said, don't eat that again. And I said, yes, sir, all right? And what'd you eat? I ate a lot of rice. I ate rice all the time, and I ate fruit, all right? That did have good fruit. And, man, when I would go, and boy, I'd pile my plate up with fruit. It was wonderful. But can I tell you something about fruit? You cannot manufacture fruit. You can't do that. There are no factories that invent and produce fruit. You cannot do it. Because fruit is a product. Fruit is a product of something that is alive. It is a product, all right? It is a product of something that has grown, something that has developed. You and I cannot produce fruit. I remember when I first came to know the Lord as my Savior, I wanted to produce my own fruit, and it's impossible. And it gets very frustrating. And it gets very defeating in your life if you are trying to produce love. You cannot do it. Or joy. You cannot do it. Or peace. You cannot do it. It is something that is given to you in effect of the Holy Spirit's work in your life. In fact, to walk in the Spirit means that you are allowing the Spirit of God to control you. It means that you are living under the direction of the Lord. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. You're there in Galatians, so turn over to the next book, to Ephesians chapter 5, and I want us to look in verse 17. Now, it's very important to understand about walking in the Spirit. I believe this with all my heart. I believe that very few Christians really walk in the Spirit. I believe that. And I think I've been a pastor long enough to know that most of the problems that churches have is when members are not walking in the Spirit. Can I tell you something? You can do a lot of damage to your home, to your family, to your marriage, and to the house of God if you are not walking in the Spirit. And I mean that. In fact, do you know something? I think a Christian can do more damage by not walking in the Spirit than an unbeliever can do simply by walking in the flesh. Because a child of God has the Spirit of God that indwells them. In fact, we can do a lot of hurt. We can create. I mean, is it not true that when a child of God does not walk in the Spirit, that they are such a terrible testimony that it can hurt the very cause of Jesus Christ? I believe there are people that want nothing to do with church and nothing to do with our Savior because of some Christian who was walking in the flesh. May God help us tonight to know that there is a warning for us, but that there is a walk that is commanded for us. God has called you to walk in the Spirit, and you cannot live a holy life without being filled with the Holy Spirit. We come to Ephesians chapter 5 and look in verse 17. The Bible says, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. And then it's interesting that right after that it goes into talking about marriage, husbands and wives, and even children, and the Spirit-filled life is necessary for you to experience the abundant Christian life. John chapter 15 talks about the abundant life. Well, what is the abundant life? It is abiding in Christ. The word abide means to remain. It means to cling to. As the branch abides in the vine, guess what it does? It produces fruit. But if you disconnect the branch from the vine, it cannot produce fruit. And by the way, God, I believe, in His wisdom and sovereignty, allows us to often become very joyless, become very miserable in our Christian lives, to teach us that we must walk in the Spirit. It is the great key. And it's almost today as if we're scared to death to talk about the Holy Spirit. I think the devil has played a good trick on churches today. I think the devil has really confused the Spirit-filled Christian. And may God help us tonight to desire to walk in the Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit, can I tell you tonight, is God. The Holy Spirit is God. The Bible teaches God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They are co-equal. So when we pray to God, obviously God the Father, we are praying to God. When we pray to Jesus, we are praying to God. But when we pray to the Holy Spirit, we are praying to God. This morning early, I prayed, Holy Spirit, take control of me today. Enable me today. I pray that you will live your life through me. Look, I know what it is to walk in the Spirit. There is joy, there is peace, there is victory, there is love, but I also know what it is to walk in the flesh. And I'll tell you something, that is a miserable Christian life. And every Christian here knows what it is to walk in the flesh and to walk in the Spirit. And God says, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Notice verse number 18, God gives us a comparison. Being filled with the Spirit is being filled with alcohol. Now, is it not interesting? That is what God chose to explain to us, the filling of the Spirit. Now, the filling of the Spirit is being controlled by someone else. And being filled with alcohol is being controlled by something else. When a man is intoxicated, as we would call that, he doesn't think right, he doesn't speak right. I mean, he is, in a sense, he's a totally different person. But when a Christian is filled, meaning controlled by the Holy Spirit, they are a totally different person. And they are producing the fruit of the Spirit. Now go to Colossians, if you would, please. We come to Colossians chapter number 3, because I want to show you something that I think is very important for us. Colossians 3, verse number 16. To walk in the Spirit is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. But Colossians 3:16, the Bible says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Is it not interesting that the Bible here gives the same effect for a Spirit-filled man, for a man who's letting the Word of Christ dwell in him richly? I would like to say to you tonight that a Word-filled Christian is a Spirit-filled Christian. Listen, brethren, this is the very tool the Spirit of God uses in our hearts to transform our minds, to change our thinking. When you are filled with the Word of God, He cleanses you, He washes you, He speaks to you. A Word-filled Christian is a Spirit-filled Christian. You know, this walk, it is a walk in the Spirit, but it's a chosen walk. In fact, Galatians 5:18, it says, but if ye be led of the Spirit, it did not say that ye are led of the Spirit. It says, if ye be led. Brethren, it is a choice to be Spirit-filled. I think sometimes we think of this abundant Christian life as, well, that's only for the preacher. Well, I know of preachers that are not Spirit-filled preachers. But I know of Christians that are not Spirit-filled Christians. Brethren, this is for all of us. You can be led of the Holy Spirit. He can guide you and direct you. In fact, the Holy Spirit is our tutor. Do you know the Spirit of God teaches us the Word? The Spirit of God is our comforter. I mean, He is the one called alongside of us to help us, to guide us. The Spirit of God gives us discernment. You know something? If you are listening to something on the radio or listening something from a preacher preaching, if you are walking in the Spirit of God gives you discernment that if you hear something that is not correct, the Spirit of God can give you that discernment to say, wait a minute, that is not truth. But also, when a preacher is preaching the Word of God and he is walking in the Spirit, you know what the Spirit of God does in your heart? He bears witness. And the Spirit of God says, believe it, that's true. Amen. And I've had that happen to me so many times as I'm listening to the preacher preach. God is bearing witness with my spirit. In fact, when I was in India, I loved preaching to those pastors. It was just, I'm telling you, very precious. All those men, they traveled. One man traveled 4 days to get to that conference. 4 days. Can you imagine that? I mean, he came a long ways, coming by train. And those men came there on their own. I mean, it cost them to come there. But one man after the service, he came up to me and he said, you know, and of course they have a strong accent, their Indian accent. They speak many languages, but of course they do understand English, some of them better than others. But one pastor came up to me and he said, Pastor, God spoke to me. I could sense the Spirit while you were talking. And boy, I liked that, because what he was saying was, the Spirit of God was comforting him and convincing him when I was giving forth the Word of God. Well, that's what the Spirit of God does. By the way, the Spirit of God convicts us of sin. The Spirit of God convinces us of the truth, but the Spirit of God comforts us. You can walk in the Spirit. And let me say this to you. You must walk in the Spirit. And if you do not walk in the Spirit, D.L. Moody said, you are living below your privileges as a Christian. It is a privilege to be a child of God, but it's a privilege that the Spirit of God indwells us. We can walk in the Spirit. Now, number three, the last thing, we've looked at the walk of the Christian, the warning for the Christian, but number three, the warfare within each Christian. Now, Paul talked about this warfare. He said, that when I would do the things that I should, what did he say? Evil is present with me. Paul even described that battle that was going on in his heart. There is a warfare. Now, the indwelling of the Spirit, which is the birthright of every believer, should not be confused with the control of the Spirit, which is conditional. So, when you come to know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit. You will never lose the Holy Spirit. And let me say this to you. You will never get more of the Spirit. Sometimes people think that, well, if I get really surrendered to God, He'll give me more of the Spirit. No. What happens when we surrender to the Lord, He gets more of us. Amen. It's not that we get more of Him. Brethren, you have all the Holy Spirit right now. But to walk in the Spirit is conditional. It's not a guarantee. Some Christians do not walk in the Spirit. And let me just simply tell you, it's evident that they don't walk in the Spirit. They don't act like a Spirit-filled Christian. They don't respond like a Spirit-filled Christian. Now, there are times in all of our lives that we instead walk in the flesh and we live in anger. We live with a spirit of, you know, that's not kind, not graceful, not loving. We don't have joy in our life because we are not filled with the Holy Spirit. Every believer has the Spirit's presence in his life, but not every believer has the Spirit's power. Now, the power to live victoriously. Now, by the way, the power is not to glorify ourselves. In fact, the Spirit said that He will not speak of Himself. That means this: God does not fill you with the Holy Spirit so that you can get the glory. No, we are to bring glory to our Heavenly Father. In fact, you know something? Because the Bible tells us that we have been baptized in the Spirit, that simply means you have been placed into the body of Christ. But the fullness of the Spirit means that we are belonging, in a sense, that we are yielding and surrendering to the Holy Spirit. On the plane, I was reading a book about the Holy Spirit, and I remember praying on the plane, "Lord, I don't want there to be any area of my life that is not yielded to You." And I wonder tonight, are there areas of your life that you have still not yielded to God? Well, let me tell you this. You will not know the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And let's just be very clear. Husbands, you will never be the husband God wants you to be unless you are filled with the Holy Spirit. I mean, back in the passage that we read, it talks about husbands, love your wives. You cannot love your wife unless you are filled with the Holy Spirit. You cannot love her as God has commanded you to love her. And ladies, you cannot lovingly submit to your husband unless you are Spirit-filled. You see, the fullness of the Holy Spirit, it's conditional, but may I say to you, it is so important that without the fullness of the Holy Spirit, we are never going to be what God wants us to be. Now, this fullness of the Holy Spirit is for every believer. I think sometimes we have the ideal that the fullness of the Holy Spirit, that's only for the special Christians. No, that's for every child of God. And by the way, walking in the Spirit is not some emotional experience. It is not bringing glory to yourself. It is literally an everyday experience of walking with God, obeying Him. And when He speaks to us, we yield to Him. When He deals with us about sin, we confess it and forsake it so we can continue to walk in the Spirit. Amen. You see, this walking is a continual thing, walking with the Lord. As we think throughout the Bible, we think of many men who walked with God. I love the story of Enoch. He walked with God. I mean, daily walked with God. Do you walk with the Lord? I'll tell you this tonight. I want to walk with the Lord. But the Holy Spirit is given to us as a gift. By the way, the Holy Spirit is a person. If you think of the Spirit of God as an influence, you're not thinking right. The Spirit of God is a person. You know, the Bible talks about the Spirit of God, that He's a person, that meaning this, He can be grieved. And the Bible tells us that we can grieve the Holy Spirit. We can quench the Holy Spirit. And many Christians, they live with a grieved Holy Spirit. And brethren, I'll say this to you. God cannot do the work that He wants to do in your life and through your life if you are grieving God, the Holy Spirit. How do we grieve the Holy Spirit? Well, we can grieve Him by what we watch. We can grieve Him by what we look at. We can grieve Him by the words that come out of our mouth. We can grieve Him by the places that we go that are dishonoring to Him. Day by day, are you living with a grieved Holy Spirit or an ungrieved Holy Spirit? In fact, what is the great difference between Christians today? Those who are walking in the Spirit and those who do not walk in the Spirit. You know, I often believe that we have almost learned to live the Christian life without the power of the Holy Spirit. And you know something, if you say, "Well, I do this, Pastor, and I don't do this, and I do this, and I don't do that," that's almost, in a sense, you are in a sense living under the law. Now, should we be living certain disciplines of the Christian life? Absolutely. Should there be things that we are not a part of? Absolutely. But the key tonight, the freedom, our liberty, is walking in the Spirit. I want us as a church to have a church that is filled with Christians who are walking in the Spirit. I want to be a pastor who walks in the Spirit. May God help us tonight to know that if we're going to live holy lives, we must know and we must walk with the Holy Spirit. May God help us. Let's bow our heads in prayer this evening. Father in heaven, I fear that we have often neglected the Holy Spirit. We give no regard to the Holy Spirit. And Lord, you have given us the Holy Spirit that indwells us. May we be Christians who walk in the Spirit on a daily basis. I pray tonight that we would confess to you that we have walked in the flesh and not walked in the Spirit. Deal with us tonight, Father. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, can I ask you a question? How many would say this evening, Pastor, God has spoken to my heart, and I truly want to walk in the Spirit. Would you pray for me tonight? Would you lift your hand and hold up high? That's my desire, Pastor. Amen. Let's stand together tonight, and we're not going to sing, but the piano is going to begin to play in just a moment, and I'm going to ask you to leave your seat and come, and I'm going to ask you to find a place. Maybe the Lord has dealt with you and you didn't want to come and say, God, forgive me of walking in the flesh and not walking in the Spirit. Let's pray. Father, I pray you bless this invitation. Lord, help us tonight. Lord, we know your word has commanded us to walk in the Spirit, to pray in the Spirit, and to not grieve the Holy Spirit. May we live a Spirit-filled, controlled life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The piano begins to play. If God has spoken to you tonight, would you find a place to pray? Let the Lord have His way. Walk in the Spirit. You'll love if you walk in the Spirit. You'll have joy if you walk in the Spirit. You'll tell others of Jesus if you walk in the Spirit. We are not alone in the Christian life. We don't have to try to live alone. It's not by your own strength, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Our Father in heaven, Lord, I give this message tonight, but I need it for my own life. And I pray that you will help all of us tonight, that we would learn daily to walk with you and to walk in the Spirit. Lord, you made us a promise that we would not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Lord, we don't want to fulfill the lust of the flesh, but we know the flesh is there and it's strong. And Father, I pray that we would daily live in dependence upon you. And Lord, that we would learn to walk with you day by day. Lord, thank you that you want to walk with us. What a privilege. What a blessing. Guide us step by step. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You